Have you been listening to the podcast and getting value from the show? If so, I've got a small favor to ask, because over the next few months, we're going to be making some changes to better serve you. Now, I could keep creating episodes based on what I think would be most helpful, but I would much rather get this right. So instead of guessing, I want to understand where you are right now and the real challenges you, your organization, and your team are facing. That's why I've put together a very short 90-second survey. It'll help me better understand you and how I can serve you at a much higher level. And as a thank you, the first 30 people who complete it will receive a free signed copy of one of our books. To take part, just go to the show notes and click the link titled Leadership Survey. Or you can go directly to letsgrowleaders.com/podsurvey. PODSURVEY. It'll take less than 2 minutes. I really appreciate your input. It will genuinely help shape the future of the show.
I was about to start a day-long workshop at a large engineering firm when the HR director pulled me aside and said, "I've got to warn you about Phil. He's bad." "What does bad look like?" I asked. "He's so cynical and complained so much during yesterday's session, the facilitator quit at the break halfway through the program."
Hey, it's David, and you're listening to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul, your source for practical leadership inspiration, tools, and strategies you can use to achieve transformational results without sacrificing your humanity or your mind in the process.
All right, here we are. Welcome to season 16, episode 9. And today you're going to get some tools to deal with your chronic complainer, whether that's a colleague, maybe it's an employee, whoever it might be. So we're talking about chronic complainers today. You'll get a couple different ways to address them, sort out should you be dealing with their complaints at all, or is there an opportunity here? So we'll get into that. And these are powerful phrases from Powerful Phrases for Dealing with Workplace Conflict, What to Say Next to De-Stress the Workday, Build Collaboration, and Calm Difficult Customers. I hope if you've been listening this season by now, I think this is coming out on May 31st. It's the last day of the month if you're listening in real time as these things release. And it has been a tremendous month. We had such a cool experience up at the Barnes & Noble on Fifth Avenue in New York City with the book launch there, signing books. The window display was super flipping cool. That was awesome. And just getting around and hearing about all of the different ways. And that's my favorite thing, is hearing how you're using these powerful phrases. So let me know. Send me an email. Hit me up on social media. On LinkedIn is a good place. You can find me there, David M, middle initial M, as in Micah or Matthew, any of those M words. Dye, D-Y-E. So David M. Dye on LinkedIn, or david.dye@letsgrowleaders.com. Love to hear how you're using these phrases and the difference that they're making for you. And I've been really encouraged and inspired by some of those stories. And listen, if you do have the book, I'd appreciate so much if you could help spread the word. Powerful Phrases for Dealing with Workplace Conflict. It's been a number one new release this month in a couple different categories on Amazon, and we're trying to keep it going and get these tools into people's hands. And you can help make that happen if you leave a review. So if you can leave a review, get up there, give it a few words. Doesn't have to be long. Talk about how practical it is. Talk about how you've used it. What is something you appreciate? Can just be a sentence or two, but those really do make a difference. Of course, appreciate your reviews on the podcast too. That social proof helps the algorithms, helps those darn computers that do so much for us to get things to the right people. So thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for getting the book if you have. If you haven't, really encourage you to do that. It's available in paperback, ebook, and yes, audio. Karen and I narrate it, so you can check that out. All right, let's get into dealing with the chronic complainer. We left right before the intro there with Phil, who was so harsh that the previous facilitator the day before, I was about to walk into that room and run off. He had left. He chased about. I was like, whoa. So yeah, complainers can have that effect on people. They can suck the life out of you, out of your team, and make everyone want to quit. Now, if you are the one that's often getting feedback that you're too negative or complain too much, check out chapter 24 of the book. There's some past episodes that you can search for that you'll find as well on that topic, because there are definitely some things you can do to help yourself in that scenario. But today, we're talking about, you've got the colleague or the employee that's a chronic complainer. You've got somebody who's just never happy, and they're complaining all the time. There are two types of chronic complainers. So the first one we're going to call Mr. Whiny. This is the person who's just never happy. Mr. Whiny can be at a five-star resort with someone massaging his fingers with coconut oil, and he'll find something to complain about. It's too hot in here. I can hear you breathing. This coconut oil smells too much like coconut. Nothing's truly wrong. Nothing's concerning or threatening. Mr. Whiny complains because somehow it makes him feel better. And those kinds of chronic complainers can be a huge drain on your time and energy. And so if you have somebody like that, you can address the behavior and disengage from an unproductive discussion, saying something like, "Hey, in the last hour, I've heard you mention that you're unhappy about when we're meeting, the decision we must make, and the meeting software we're using. What's going on?" And you can use a neutral, non-judgmental, curious tone as you ask what's going on. So when you call attention to the behavior of someone you suspect is a "I'm never happy" chronic complainer, they'll often tone it down. And with this approach, you're also genuinely checking to see if there is a problem. You're not ignoring them, but you're not fueling or amping up or feeding into that negative energy either. So if there's something legitimate in their grumbling, you can listen, you can reflect to connect, going back to one of our goats, and then try to move them to action. That does sound frustrating. Do you want to make it better? I love this powerful phrase. Just calls the question, and it helps you know if you're talking to a Mr. Whiny. If they answer, "Yeah, I want to make it better," well, then in a moment, I'll give you some more phrases you can use to pursue that and continue the conversation. But if they defer and say something like, "Nah, it's not worth it. Nothing ever changes," probably time to end the conversation with that person. And to do that, you can say something like, "Yeah, that's tough. Well, I'm up against the deadline here. Got to get back to it. Hope you have a better day." You can't care about it more than they do. And if they're not invested in doing anything differently, probably best to extract yourself from the conversation. Okay, let's talk about the chronic complainer who's someone who genuinely cares. They care about the team. They care about the work. But it's hard to see that caring because it's hidden under a veneer of cynicism and complaining. So we'll call this caring complainer Ms. Cares a Lot. So if you've got a Ms. Cares a Lot you're preparing to deal with, it helps to understand what's happening for her. Some people just have a naturally cautious or self-protective way of approaching life. It's kept them safe or avoided disaster. At least it feels that way to them. So if you tell a Ms. Cares a Lot that they're being negative or a complainer, they'll respond honestly, "No, I'm not. I'm trying to prevent a problem, avoid frustration, and keep us on track." And her analytic, skeptical way of looking at things can be a real asset as you make those decisions. The challenge is to help caring chronic complainers add that value without dragging you down into a whirlpool of cynicism. Besides understanding their general approach, it's also helpful to understand where the chronic part comes from. So when somebody who cares complains frequently, it's often because they don't feel heard. People dismiss them as negative, the people roll their eyes, and the complainer's skepticism gets worse. So you can use a couple of powerful phrases to help redirect that energy to some more positive outcomes. The four dimensions you're investing in here are curiosity and connection. So we start with, "Hey, it sounds like you're concerned about." And yeah, this is another variation of goat number 11. They're goats for a reason. Reflecting to connect, "It sounds like you're concerned about this. Do I have that right?" If they're really worked up, grab a pen and paper, start writing down what they say. Just the act of taking them seriously eases some of the pressure that's built up for them. Here's another very powerful one, just three words. "And what else?" This is an incredibly powerful phrase when you're talking to a caring complainer. You've listened intently. You've written what they said. Now when you ask, "And what else?" it creates a pause. That moment of reflection gets them out of their autopilot. "No one ever listens, so I'll keep talking." Gets them out of that mode and gets them thinking critically about the issue. If there is more, you can listen, take some more notes, and you might need one more and what else before they get everything out. And then you can continue the conversation. What do you see as the consequences if, and you can fill in based on what you've been talking about, what their perspective was. This one's going to help both of you get perspective. Sometimes the complainer might answer saying something like, I guess the consequences really aren't that big, and they're ready to move on. But if they see significant concerns, you can continue with, what would it look like if we could solve for that? Sometimes those chronic complainers have been cynical for so long that it can be hard for them to envision life improving. And when you invite them to consider how it would feel, it opens the door to solutions. And then you can start shifting the conversation to solutions, saying something like, how do you think we can address this? If you could snap your fingers and create a solution, what would you like to see happen? It sounds like you want to, and now you're going to recap the conversation, focus on what action they want to take next. And if they truly couldn't come up with a practical way forward, maybe you suggest monitoring the situation for a while and see if anything changes. And then at some point, you need to help the caring complainer get moving and get back to your work. And so a phrase you can use to help with that is, I'm glad we had this conversation. You might need to pair it with a follow-up. I need to get back to. And notice, I'm glad we had this conversation. It's past tense. The conversation is now over. I need to get back to work. You know, and as we're thinking about these chronic complainers, I just want to go back to Phil, who I introduced at the beginning. I forgot to follow up on that story for you. Turned out Phil was not nearly as troublesome as the HR director feared. He had genuine, valid concerns, and I listened to them, and I gave him truthful answers. Even then, those answers were not always what he wanted to hear, and Phil actually became an advocate for the program. He shifted his perspective. He became an advocate for what we were doing. He certainly wasn't running people out of the room. And you'll be able to help your chronic complainers, too, when you use these powerful phrases and genuinely listen. All right, so there you go. A couple of powerful phrases to help you discern, are you talking to a complainer who's never happy, or are you talking to a complainer who cares, and what to do in each of those situations? And if you like what you heard in this episode, these are all from powerful phrases for dealing with workplace conflict. Giving you a selection this season of some of the phrases, some of the scenarios that are in the book. There are so many more, 300 plus scenarios to help you deal with a whole variety of common workplace conflicts. Again, thank you for being here. Thank you for, most of all, using everything you hear. We've got, two more episodes this season involving powerful phrases for dealing with workplace conflict, giving you a few more tasters there. Hope you'll get the book. Hope you'll leave the reviews. And then season 17, in just a few more weeks, we're going to get back here to some more interviews, widen our net again, and continue investing in human-centered practical leadership strategies that work. Glad you could join us. Until next time, be the leader you'd want your boss to be.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.